Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farah on News 104.5 WOKV.
You're listening to the Consumer Law Hour on News 104.5 WOKV. Our lines are open at 855-765-1045 for your calls. My name's Scott Young, in with Chuck Farah and Eddie Farah from the law firm of Farah & Farah. Ready to take your calls for any legal questions. Again, our lines are open at 855-765-1045. Good afternoon, fellas. How are you doing today?
Really good, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
We're ready for some phone calls today. I got some stuff to talk about, too, but phone calls are a priority. And remember, if you have a legal question or an issue and you can't get help or you want to just get a preliminary idea of what you should do, contact the Jacksonville Bar Association here in Jacksonville. They have an attorney referral service. $50 is all it is for 30 minutes with a lawyer who specializes in the area that you need help with. The best deal in town. The Jack's Bar does it. Lawyers donate their time to do it. These are lawyers that charge $300, $400, $500 an hour. You get them for $50. And it's a great service that the Jack's Bar does. The attorneys don't make any money. I mean, this is a losing proposition for them, but they do it because they want to help the community. And so if we can't help you, those guys can. So,
yeah, I mean,
good thing going on. That's just one of the things. I mean, they do many things in the community. They work with the Jacksonville Area Legal Aid to provide free legal services, but the Jacks Area Legal Aid doesn't get involved in a lot of financial disputes, but real estate transactions, things of that nature. So the Jack's Bar kind of fills that gap for people who need some legal advice.
Yeah, you can go right onto their website, and there's a tab under Need a Lawyer that where you can fill out your issue, and they'll get somebody to contact you.
Yeah, anybody watching television has seen those Roundup ads about that active ingredient glyphosate that has been alleged to cause cancer and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I mean, the ads are rampant all over television. But now a lawsuit has been filed, not just against Bayer, the people who bought the product from Roundup, I guess a couple of years ago, but a class action lawsuit has been filed against Home Depot for their Roundup sales. And the basis of the class action, it was filed in California, was Home Depot's failure to warn of the cancer risks of Roundup. And according to the lawsuit, the warning on the Roundup label gives the false impression that its only risk is eye irritation, when its active ingredient glyphosate is a known cancer risk. So the basis of that lawsuit is that for some reason Home Depot only talked about eye irritation, but never warned the purchasers of Roundup that you could absorb it through inhalation and skin contact. So that is the basis of that class action in California. I'm not aware of anything being filed in Florida, but typically when it starts out there, these class actions move around and get filed in other states.
Just a matter of time.
Yeah, Costco has quit selling Roundup. They have taken it off the shelves, and you cannot buy Roundup at Costco now. So let's see how this litigation unfolds, but it's heating up. Anybody who's watched television can see the ads. They're running all day long on basically every channel.
Well, we've got our first caller of the day. Bruce in Amelia Island has a question about a vehicle warranty. Bruce, you're on with Farah and Farah.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, thanks, guy. How are y'all doing?
Really good. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, I purchased a used vehicle, 2016, and I bought it under full factory warranty. It's under warranty till December. And I buy them just in case I have a problem. I've missed something, I can maybe I get it covered. But anyway, it does have a problem, and I took it into the dealership August 8th, and they kept it for a month. They said they had it fixed. I went to get it, and it wasn't fixed. So now they have it again. They've had it now for another 2 weeks, and so I'm thinking, if they can't fix this, what am I going to do?
Okay, well, that's an area of the law I'm not real familiar with, but I do know that in Florida, when you buy a used car, you buy it as is, except for the warranty. And if it's a used car, you cannot use the lemon law to make them take the car back and get a brand new vehicle.
So right. I understand that.
So you have
is
to
it
enforce
a used car?
Yeah, it was 2016.
2016.
Yeah, it's been owned before. So you've got
It has been owned before, but it's still under full factory warranty.
Oh, I understand that.
And so I just don't.
Yeah, so you're.
I just don't know what the next step is.
Well, your recourse is to force them to enforce the warranty. You have a contract that they're going to repair the vehicle, and there's an implied warranty that they just can't take it and say, well, we'll get back with you in a couple of years. It's got to be done as soon as possible, and if it's not done, I don't know if they're waiting on a part, or maybe they haven't figured out what's going on with it, or maybe they're trying to take the cheaper out to fix it. Who knows? Have you taken it to another dealer to get an idea of what's wrong with it?
No, I haven't.
Do you have the warranty?
I'm at the dealership. You know that takes care of these cars, and it's an expensive car, and so I'm just. This has been 6 weeks, and I asked for. I said, look, if you can't fix it, I'd like a consult with the regional. Person that markets these cars, but I just don't know what the next step is.
Have they had the car for 6 weeks?
Well, it's since September 8th. I mean, since August 8th.
Wow.
They had it for a month. They told me that they had fixed the problem, and so I went to get it, and the problem wasn't fixed. And so I took it right back, and they took it, and now they've had it now for another 2 weeks. So
why don't you take it to a different dealership?
They have two dealerships here in the area, but other than that, I don't know what else to do.
What we talked about at the beginning of the show with the Jack's Bar Association, you may want to talk to an attorney. Have you read the warranty to see what they're required to do, and if they don't?
Yeah, that you got to read the warranty.
Have you read the warranty? Does it say anything about how quickly they need to repair it, or whether they can?
It may limit your rights on what you can claim. Yeah.
Well, I've never done that, so no, I didn't do it because when you and I buy cars, it basically states a full factory bumper to bumper warranty,
right.
And that's what it has.
Right.
But I don't think it states any. No. I don't know because I haven't read it.
Maybe another suggestion to consider would also be to contact the manufacturer, find the local regional manufacturer's corporate office, and talk to somebody in administration there directly to see if they've got some additional information about some developments and the repair considerations. Maybe there's a recall issue that needs to be addressed, and they may be able to refer you to a particular garage that has done warranty work for them.
But this is a factory warranty.
Exactly. Yeah, but if you're having trouble with the dealership in question, contact the automotive manufacturer directly.
That's an avenue that he needs to look into.
Right. Well, what? I asked them, I said, I'd like to know the regional of this vehicle outside the dealership. And they said, we normally don't set up meetings between a customer and the regional market.
Yeah, but you can contact the manufacturer directly. You can get their address online and contact them, probably over their website. You can contact them.
Right.
Did they give you a rental car while it was being repaired, while they were working on it?
They have. Yes, they have.
Did they give you a rental car? So they gave you a rental car. So you're not out of transportation.
Oh no.
But the vehicle you
no,
have.
No, they've been real good. They've been great as far as I've had one other small issue, but they've been good. So I just want to know, what are the chances? I mean, if I tell them, look, you got to fix this car, and if you can, I want my money back.
I don't think you can do that.
Now, a lawsuit may force similar to that happen.
You may have to file a lawsuit, but I don't think they're going to voluntarily
handle these.
Is the car financed or is it?
It's financed.
Okay. Well, see, now they've sold that paper. I mean, you'd have to, if you gave them the car back, the people that you bought, the financed the vehicle, would come back and sue you for the money. So that's got to be paid off. I mean, unless they're going to pay off the person that you owe the money to, that's all they got. I don't think they're going to.
Well, the financing is actually through the manufacturer.
Yeah, but it's a different entity. I don't think they're going to. They may do it. I doubt it. But
you doubt it. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to. That's what I'm trying to get at is they've got to. But I'm just saying they got to fix the car, right?
Yeah, they do. You have a warranty. They got to make. But they make their money on the financing. They got to fix it. They got to repair the vehicle
or compensate you.
Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate the information and you guys listening to this, and I'll.
Yeah, but I think Scott's got a good idea to contact the manufacturer and say your warranty.
Yeah, I will.
They're not fulfilling their responsibility under the warranty that you paid for.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, guys.
Right,
Bruce, we appreciate your call. Good luck in getting that issue resolved. If you've got questions, we've got open lines for you at 855-765-1045 as the Consumer Law Hour continues on News 104.5 WOKV. We're back on the Consumer Law Hour here on News 104.5 WOKV. Lines are open for your calls at 855-765-1045. Give us a call if you've got legal questions. We've got Sam in Flagler Beach who has a question about a judgment and an appeal. Sam, how are you doing today?
Good, fine.
Tell me about it, Sam.
Okay, I have a judgment. I have a legal situation with an HOA, and they won a judgment, a summary judgment called violating the declarations and other things, and I have filed an appeal on the case, and it's my understanding that once they get the ruling of the judgment, they have 30 days in which to file for their attorney's fees.
Right.
And if they do not, they cannot collect their attorney's fees. But by me filing for an appeal, does that give them extra time to file for attorney's fees?
Okay, let me, first of all, was it filed in county court or circuit court? All right,
and I appealed it to the Fifth District Court.
Okay, that's right, because you appealed it. So if you appeal, well, no, if it was in county court, it goes to circuit court.
Circuit court, yeah.
It's court in Flagler County.
Yeah, so it was in county court. It was an amount less than $15,000, right?
It was over $100,000.
So it was in circuit court, not county court.
I don't know if it's a courthouse in Bunnell.
I know, but is it circuit or county court?
I guess circuit court. I don't know the difference. I'm sorry.
All right. If they were asking for an amount more than $15,000, it'd be circuit court.
It'd be circuit court.
Okay. Oh, let's assume that. So you have appealed it to the,
District Court of Appeal.
Yeah, District Court of Appeal. You filed a notice of appeal. I don't know. I don't think it does. I think they can still apply for their attorney's fees.
But they have 30 days to do so from the issuance it's my understanding they have 30 days from a date that that the court ruled to apply for attorney's fees.
I know, but did
they don't apply for it within 30 days that they cannot get them.
Why? Did the court enter a judgment or just enter an order first? Because sometimes
It was a summary judgment.
Oh, I know. You lost the summary judgment. So you're appealing the summary judgment.
And I'm appealing this, correct.
Okay. Does the HOA entitle them to all attorney's fees? I mean,
under their declarations, if they win in court, they're entitled to attorney's fees under the declarations. But the Florida law, I've been told, states that once it is ruled that the opposing party has 30 days in which to file for attorney's fees. If they do not file within the 30-day period, and I do not have right for attorney's fees.
Okay, so are you saying it's been over 30 days?
My question as I filed my appeal within the 30-day period, and they had not filed for attorney's fees, and does the fact that I appealed the case, does that extend their date?
I don't know that. Because
I think it's a reasonable time.
I don't know, Chuck.
I don't know that it's 30 days.
I think you got it. Did you have a lawyer?
At one time, yes.
Well, what does he what did he tell you to do? What was his idea?
It wasn't at this point at that time. This was after we dismissed the lawyer.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know enough about the lawsuit to advise you on that. Again, you know, we mentioned at the beginning of the show. I don't know if they have one in the league. I don't know if they do this in Flagler, but you could talk to a Duval County lawyer. It's the same law. For $50 to the Jacksonville Bar Association, come up to town.
I've done that, and the lady says she wants $5,000.
Well, you did talk to somebody?
Yeah.
And they needed $5,000 to do all the – is that for all the appellate work and everything?
No, they wanted me – they would not meet with me because I was referred to an attorney by the people you said. And she won $5,000 to talk to me, but I thought I would get a free consultation.
No, you get a consultation for 30 minutes for $50. I don't know. That's...
She said I have over $5,000 to talk to her.
I tell you, if you leave me or not, I mean, that's news to me because many people have used that service and were charged $50 to talk to an attorney about their legal problem. If you leave your phone number.
The question is this.
Huh?
The question is, if the opposing party, once they got the summary judgment, if they did not file for attorney's fees within 30 days, it's my understanding that they lose the right for attorney's fees.
Okay.
And the fact that I filed for an appeal.
I don't think that extends. I think they have to file it. But I think the court has discretion on that. But,
if they don't file within 30 days, that's the state law, they lose their right for attorney's fees.
Did the court retain jurisdiction to award attorney's fees at a later date?
Yeah, the judge.
But they got a file form in 30 days for that privilege. This is what I'm understanding.
Yeah, I know you said that. I just don't. I have to see the order. I mean, is it a final judgment or just it's just has the final judgment been entered on the summary judgment?
They said it was a final judgment, but then when I appealed it, they turned down the appeal because they said it was not the final judgment.
Yeah, that's
the way the judgment is read. Then the judgment read the way the court ordered read. It is.
Yeah. You have to get an attorney to help you out. Why don't you leave your phone number? I will call the Jack's Bar on Monday and find out what happened and why you could not get an attorney to talk to you.
They gave me one. I called the Tallahassee number.
No, this is a Jacksonville number. That's why.
The Florida Bar's got it, but I think it's a local person.
But the Jacksonville does it for 50.
Or maybe Flagler County.
Yeah, Sam called the wrong outfit, so...
I called in the phone. I'll
leave your phone number because you know what they'll do. They'll put a lien on your. Do you understand?
I understand.
Okay, you got all that. All right.
All right. Well, Sam, if you'll talk to our producer Tom, he'll get your information, and Eddie will follow up on that for you next week. Try and get you some guidance down the line about
let me
that.
Tell you, these HOAs, you're playing with fire.
True
the
story.
Laws are all written in their favor, and when they win, they get attorney's fees. And there are lawyers that make a living just suing people in HOAs. That's all they do.
Well, we'll be back with more of the Consumer Law Hour after a quick news break, update of weather and traffic. More Consumer Law Hour coming your way on News 104.5 WOKV. And we're back on the Consumer Law Hour here on News 104.5 WOKV. Our number is 855-765-1045. If you've got legal questions, we've got legal experts here to help you. Chuck and Eddie Farah from the law firm of Farah and Farah are sponsors here on the Consumer Law Hour, 855-765-1045. And lines are open.
Yeah, these HOAs, Scott, they're deadly. Everything is written in their favor. If you live in a community where there's an HOA and you've got somebody there, I mean, you know, these neighborhoods have people that police around or
busy bodies.
Busy bodies for sure. You know, sometimes I wonder, I mean, are they getting, are they tied into some attorneys? You know, they maybe have attorney friends of theirs, and they just ride around and they find things in the neighborhood and they start the process. I mean, they don't sue you from the get-go, but you probably first get a certified letter and there's a process they go through. And if, you know, they've got, you know, these attorneys that work for the HOAs, when they look at a case, and the HOA doesn't pay them any money. The lawyer says, hey, give me all your cases, and I'll just get paid by the people that live there. You know, I'm not going to cost the HOA anything. And I'm going to make the person at fault who caused the problem in the community pay me my attorney's fees. And there are attorneys in town that do nothing but sue residents of HOAs. And that's how they, yeah, that's what they do day in and day out. And if you go to small claims court, you'll see them there lined up suing people, and they're going to get their attorney's fees, and they bill at hundreds of dollars per hour.
And HOAs have such strict standards, and their use of particular contract language protects them from a lot of dispute or appellate considerations.
I mean, I remember it was a couple of hurricanes ago, and I pulled my boat in my driveway. And I got a letter because you're not allowed to have boats, I guess, sitting in your driveway. I never knew that. Sitting in the driveway. I mean, you got to either be in the garage or it's got to be out of sight. But it was a hurricane, and I had to pull it out, and I had it on my driveway. And it was only there during the hurricane. And, you know, it caused me to receive a letter. And if I had not moved it, I mean, I'd have probably gotten sued. So it's a tough situation, and it's a lien. It becomes lien against your house. Technically, they can foreclose on the house, have the house sold to pay off the judgment.
And over the most minor things.
Yes. This gentleman who called, Sam who called in?
Yeah, Sam's between a rock and a hard place on this.
This thing is over $15,000. I mean,
he's got a big judgment.
It must be in $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. I don't know what it is.
And the rule does state it's 30 days after the judgment is entered that they have to file. They shall. The word verbiage is shall file a motion for attorney's fees. So I don't know if the appeal.
Believe me, that attorney is, that's how he gets paid.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's outside the 30 days or we didn't clarify that. But
HOAs or something, so.
Well, hopefully Sam will be able to get some guidance on that with a little.
Hopefully gets out of that jam.
With a little point of view, maybe from the Bar Association, and an assist from our good friends here, Farrah and Farrah.
Yep. We got a phone call, I think, tomorrow.
Getting screened at the moment.
Okay.
So we'll come to that call in a second.
Okay. Well, anyway, the election's coming up next year, 2020. One of the big topics is drug pricing. And what these drugs that are on television that they're advertising, what do they cost at the end of the day when you go there and you have that prescription filled? Well, President Trump wanted the pharmaceutical companies. He talked about this when he ran for president. I want to have the drug prices on the TV, like when you walk and that when you watch an ad, the price for a 30-day supply has got to be on the television. And everybody thought, oh, yeah, he's not going to do that. Well, he really pushed for it, and it was supposed to start this past July, I think July the 9th, that the Department of Health and Human Services says we're going to start advertising drug prices on every TV spot. Well, anyway, the pharmaceutical company, when they heard of that, went and filed a lawsuit. And the judge ruled that the president could not force the pharmaceutical companies to disclose drug pricing on television. That the only person who could do that would be Congress. So you would have to go to Congress and pass some sort of legislation which would require the drug companies to advertise pricing. That's why you don't see the pricing right now. As soon as it was supposed to start in July, the pharmaceutical companies went to court and won. And so this was something that President Trump promised he would do, tried to do it, and it looks like it was going to happen, but the pharmaceutical company stepped in, filed their lawsuit, and now you don't know what the pricing is.
Coincidental with a discussion we were having in previous weeks about how there's some concern about certain pharmaceutical companies suppressing the generic brands to keep a price control in the market.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, the pay for delay, where they'll go to a generic company and say, look, company, I know you're going to sell Lipitor for 10 cents a tablet. I'm just giving an example. We'll keep the name brand out there because we're making a dollar. We're selling for a dollar a tablet, and I'm going to pay you some money to not sell your product.
Yeah.
And so who gets cheated? The consumer gets cheated because the consumer has to pay the retail rate when there's a generic product out there that does the same thing. And that's illegal. It's against the law, but they do it they do it all the time because I keep up with all those lawsuits. And these companies, I mean, I guess a lot of them just don't ever get caught and nobody knows about it. But
or maybe they hide behind the idea that they've got so much money they can afford to take a hit if anybody's going to try and take them down.
Yeah, yeah. They just pay the fine. As well, we'll pay the fine. We still made a boatload of money by keeping the generic off the market for 2 years.
Well, we've got a caller ready to go. Ernest in Jacksonville has a question regarding a pay grade being lowered. Ernest, you're on the Consumer Law Hour.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I got a question about something that happened to my wife recently. She got her, they put in for her merit increase at her work, and they came back and told her, you're going to get a lump sum as far as your increase because you're maxed out on your pay grade. That's when she found out that after a market analysis was done earlier, they lowered her pay grade by 2 levels and didn't notify anybody. Does she have any recourse on something like that?
I mean, does she have a contract? Is she a member of a union?
No, she's just an employee.
Yeah,
she's hourly.
Well,
I don't think. I mean, Florida's a employment at will. They can basically do what they want. I mean, they can't discriminate based on, gender, religious affiliation, and those protected classes. Unless you could tie it into a protected class, they probably have a right to do that.
Okay, even without notification prior, are they going to do it?
Well, what did they do? They lowered her pay grade, right?
Right, which essentially maxed her out as far as where her pay is now. And when she got her merit increase, that doesn't go in. Just actually, they go to a lump sum as opposed to increasing her pay.
Like a bonus, they'll give her a lump sum payment. I guess there's... Like the position she's in is maxed out as far as how much they'll pay for that position. And
in that grade range.
Yeah. And they lowered it. She thought she was going to still had room to move up, but then they lowered the pay grade and now she's maxed.
Wow, with the bonus, you mean?
Well, she's for an increase in the hourly rate. I mean, let's say that, if I understand it correctly, the hourly rate, let's say, for example, that position will pay anywhere from $15 an hour to $20 an hour. And if they lowered it from $15 to $18 an hour as the max, and she's at $18, there's no room to move up. So they gave her a lump sum instead. Is that as a bonus? But, that's how I understand it.
Yeah, so, any...
Not much you can do about them.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's...
Yeah, then, of course, over time, or like that, still pay it at that lower level.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, unless she can show there's some sort of discrimination involved based on a protected class like gender, because she's female or whatever, or age, or because she's older, or because, whatever, religious, whatever it is. If it's a protected class, maybe you can do something about it. But it's an at-will state. They can do what they want.
Okay. I didn't think it was right. They could do it without even the further previous notification. Hey, we're going to be changing your grade and moving forward because it's market analysis. And this is how it's going to affect you.
Did they actually change her pay rate or just the grade that she was at so that like she previously had room to go up, but there's just no room to go up now?
Just the grade, and she has no room to go up now.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. In her hourly pay, that's why they do a lump sum. They take I guess what she would get over the next year and give it a lump sum. And then, of course, also probably gets taxed as a bonus in that case, which increases the taxes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I don't do labor law, but that's my understanding. That's my limited knowledge. Now, if you want to leave your phone number, I do know a labor lawyer that would talk to you about it. And I can be in touch with you Monday to give you his phone number.
Okay.
So what I would do, leave your phone number with our producer, and I'll be in phone contact and give you somebody to help you.
That sounds good.
All right, Ernest, we appreciate your call. Good luck on getting that resolved. Wishing you the best for your wife's being able to advance that career opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, it looked like it. Looks like they're taking something away from them.
Well, here's the thing. If you're capped out there and there's no room to grow, then it's time to go.
Yeah.
Well.
But anyway, I want to move on to something else. That looks like I had another phone call. But, we always talked about, there's a rule in Florida. I mean, I always wondered about this. A lot of people wonder, what happens when a parent is negligent? A parent makes a mistake, does something, and their negligent behavior injures one of their children. Can the child sue the parent? Can you file a lawsuit against your parent, against one of the parents, or both of them?
I feel like every child has made that threat.
Well, if there are any kids listening out there, let me give you the law in Florida. That way you'll know what's going on.
Maybe we shouldn't.
Maybe we shouldn't tell it.
Yeah.
But, if your parent does cause you injury or harm, the general rule in Florida is that children cannot sue their parents for negligence.
Ooh.
The general rule, okay? There are sections. The Florida Supreme Court adopted the doctrine of parental immunity, and I think in the 1980s, something like that, to prevent inter-family legal disputes. So I'll give you the exception to that when we get back.
We've got one more segment of the Consumer Law Hour coming up.
Listen up, kids. I've got some exceptions for you.
Literally, kids, this segment's for you. 855-765-1045, our number to call. If you've got questions, we're happy to take them on the Consumer Law Hour on News 104.5 WOKV. We are back for the final segment of the Consumer Law Hour today. 855-765-1045, the number to call. If you want to get on the phone with our legal experts, Chuck and Eddie Farah from the law firm of Farah and Farah here to take your calls. And we have William in Winter Haven, who has a question regarding his homeowners association and the amenities. Welcome to the Consumer Law Hour, William.
How you doing? Yeah, I guess my question is, what are the recourses that residents might have concerning the condition of the amenities that we haven't even been able to access our pool in Winter Haven in 3 months? Because they've got the pool shut down. It needs repair. And we pay for that in our lot rent. We own our homes, but we have lot rent. And also the laundry room is shut down. The shower rooms are shut. The HRS come in and shut all this down. And they haven't fixed none of it yet. What kind of recourse? Our roads, our drains in our roads, they flood, and we have mud on our roads we live in Central Florida. Rains every doggone day of the week during the summertime and all. And you literally walk into a lake to go from one neighbor's yard to the next.
You got to get rid of the people that are running the HOA.
Okay.
There's a process to go through to do that. You got to get the people who are running the HOA are the wrong people. I mean, why don't you ask for an accounting to see where the money's going?
Exactly. That's where I would start. They should have the money to repair everything.
They got to give you that every year, where the money's being spent.
Okay. And when you say HOA, I'm new to this HOA business. When you say HOA, are you talking of the owners of the property?
No, it's
the management.
It's the homeowner. It's the association. It's in the deeds of restriction. I mean, it's a document you signed when you moved in. You should have a copy of it.
Yes, they call it a prospectus, right?
Whatever, yeah. I mean, I don't know, a real estate guy. But I'm telling you, I've seen them because I'm in one. And every year, I think by law, they're required to provide you with an accounting of where the money goes. And you have a right to, if you don't have it, you have a right to demand it. And that way you can see where the money's being spent, what's left over, how much is in the account. Maybe they're spending it on the wrong thing. But, I mean, if you're having that problem, why don't the other homeowners band together and go confront the HOA about it?
Well, what I understand, the HOA, it's made up of the homeowners, and they vote them in.
But there's a committee that runs it.
Right.
There's like
okay.
a group that enforces you, that hires people and gets things done.
Okay.
So that's what you got to do. You got to start with the accounting, find out where the money's going, and go address the people that run the HOA and see why this stuff is not getting done. But there's a legal process whereby you could have those people removed if they're not doing their job.
Okay. All right, I'll start with that. I'll start asking questions. Like I said, I'm new to all the rent. I've always had a house on my own property and no HOA, no nothing. And now I'm in an adult community, so it's all brand new to me. But, I mean, you're in Central Florida and you can't use your pool for 3 months?
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, something's going on.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
It's probably a pump or something like that. I mean, what can it be? It
can't be. They said, I've talked to the manager of the park, and she says that they got to resurface the whole pool.
Yeah, they have to re-marcite it. That doesn't take 3 months. I mean, they empty it and re-marcite.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, it'd be nice if you just see them doing something.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even see them doing nothing with it.
Let me tell you
something. It's just sitting there.
If you violate one of their rules, like you heard that other the earlier listener, you're going to get a lawsuit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt. You violate one of their rules, they'll tell you to pack up and get out.
Well, no, they'll just sue you, and they'll make you pay their attorney's fees. And if you don't pay them, they'll have a lien against your house.
Yep. So we need to figure out who runs that HOA then, I guess.
Yes, sir, start with that.
Okay.
Thanks.
All righty. I'll see what happens. All right. Sure appreciate you.
Good luck, man.
Thanks. Good luck.
All right, William, we appreciate the call.
Bob.
Good luck getting that resolved.
Bob,
got time for one more?
Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Bob, you're on. What can we do for you?
In the accident, car's worth about $17,000 at the most, $1,000 worth of damage. How do you get the evaluation from an insurance company on that? They don't seem to want to cooperate.
Well, you know, it's so it can be it's repairable, right?
Yes.
Okay. What we do, we have someone we retain who's an expert who is able to evaluate the loss of value of the vehicle.
And that costs how much?
$300.
Is that reclaimable back from the insurance company then?
Well, maybe. I mean, it depends if you file a lawsuit against them. If you can negotiate it, if not, but maybe you can negotiate the price of that opinion into the settlement. Was anybody injured in the accident?
No.
Okay, it's strictly a property damage. In our office, when we handle a personal injury case, we do that for free for our clients because it's just part of our service. And we get them the money for the devaluation and we just turn that check over to them. But you're not going to find a lawyer to do that unless there's a personal injury component. But if you want to leave your phone number, I can give you a contact number of a person who can do an evaluation for you.
I'll leave the number. Thank you for your show.
And you can talk to him. Tell him you heard. He's a friend of mine. Tell him you heard about it on the show. He'll talk to you about it for free.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Bob, we appreciate the call. And for all of our callers, thank you for checking in with us. We appreciate the opportunity to help you out. Look forward to talking to you again next Saturday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.